We are certainly thankful that you are able to come and worship the Lord with us this morning at Seven Oaks. When I was a student in Italy in 1997, we had some free travel. One time we went to the city of Pompeii, and we heard the story and got to walk through the ruins there about how the city was an active, very vibrant city. People were going about their daily lives. In the midst of that, before there was weather forecasts, before there were weather warnings, actually thousands of years before our time today, a great volcano, which was just their next door neighbor, went off. When that volcano went off, it went off so furiously and so quickly that the lava and the eruption from that volcano covered their city, and people were actually, that they were actually caught by that lava. Many of them lost their lives, and that city has been a great source of information about ancient life because it was preserved just as it was going on by the ancient lava that flowed from Mount Vesuvius. Think about those people. They were living their lives. No expectation about a tremendous force coming and totally captivating their city like a time capsule that has been preserved for thousands of years. What will happen when the Lord Jesus returns? What's going to happen? One thing about it, you can be assured that we're going to be living a normal life. Life will be going on normally. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, when he speaks about this, he says, notice this. He says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. He goes on and talks about how two men will be there, and one will be taken, two women will be grinding, one will be taken. He's talking about, as we'll notice in a minute, when the gathering together in the clouds, when Christ returns to those who are faithful. And he says in verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. The only sign given about when Jesus will return is the sign that life will be going on normally. It's going to be going on at a time when you do not expect it. At a time when it's going to be sudden, like a thief in the night. What's going to happen when Jesus returns? Number one, life will be normal. Just like those people who were living in the days of Noah, they were going about life. There'll be a wedding reception going on. There'll be a funeral going on. There'll be a new building being built. There'll be a couple that's all excited about moving into their new home. There'll be ladies giving birth to new children. Life will be going on as normal. There'll be people at work doing their busy work that they've got to get done, feeling like that they've got to get this done, or life cannot continue. But life will not continue as they know it, and that work will probably never be done. You see, life is going to be normal. Number two, when the Lord returns, the Lord will come with tremendous power and might. When the Lord comes, it's going to be something that no one is going to be able to miss. I remember one time driving, and I think we were out in Texas, and we were driving, and it was the clouds did something unusual, and it was like this huge bank of clouds, and then it was like you heard this thundering and lightning, and it was actually kind of scary. It was almost like, is this when the Lord's coming back? And for a second there, you know, he's like, whoa, what is this? I'm not sure what it's all going to involve. The Bible tells us some things that describe this coming. And I want to read some of those For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven," and listen to this, "with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord." Revelation describes the Lord's voice as like the voice of mighty waters. If you've ever been able to go to a tremendous waterfall like Niagara Falls or some other huge waterfall, you know that when you're standing there with someone, you can't hardly talk to them if you're real close to the waterfall because of the noise coming off of that waterfall. That's what Revelation describes the Lord's voice as a voice with mighty waters. It's a voice that is tremendously loud. It's thundering. And here we find that the archangel's voice will cry out, that there'll be a trumpet sound. The point of this is it's going to be powerful. It's going to be mighty. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it describes it in similar language. In verse 7, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's going to be a day that no one will miss, is the point Paul's making to the Thessalonian brethren. You're not going to miss this day. They had worried they had missed it. Paul says it's going to be a day where it's going to be tremendous power and might. And it's going to be a great trumpet. It's going to be a time when all the world, and we can't get our mind around this and even understand it in our material way of thinking, because we wonder, well, how can people all over the globe see the same thing and how all that will work? And I certainly don't have all the answers there. But the Bible says that it's going to be a time when the Lord will descend with a might, and all the world is going to know that. It's going to be a great event. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7, it describes this event. And it says this, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen." Yes, it's going to be a time when the Lord will come with tremendous power and might. And His coming will be very sudden. So what's going to happen when the Lord returns? Number one, life's going to be going on normally. Number two, it's going to be an event that is cataclysmic in nature. It's going to be greater than any eruption of a volcano, any tornado that's ever gone. It's going to be greater than any thunder you've ever heard. It's going to be an event that's going to be global in perspective that will signal the coming of the Lord with power and might in the sky. And the Lord will come. And not only will the Lord come in tremendous power and might, but also all will be resurrected. The graves will all be empty. And so whether people have died at sea and their bodies have remained at sea, whether people have their remains have been cremated, whether they have been put in a tomb, maybe even a cave tomb where that cave has been sealed, or a vault tomb and put in the ground, it doesn't matter the form of death or where the body has been deposited, we might say. But there's going to be a resurrection where people will receive a new body. In fact, I want to note that all will be resurrected. In 1 Thessalonians, the passage we've already read, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, talking about the Christians, that the dead in Christ will rise first. So they're going to receive the call out of the grave first. But notice very quickly and very suddenly, right after that it seems, there's not a 1,000-year gap here, but rather all are said to come out of the grave as well. For example, in John chapter 5, when our Lord speaks about the the resurrection, listen to what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. He has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. And he's talking about that Jesus can give life, and probably spiritual life there, that he can save people and that he has this authority. And Jesus says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. In other words, I'm going to tell you I can do more than save people spiritually. The hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or judgment. Jesus says, when I come back, everybody's going to know it. And when I come back, there's going to be a general resurrection. That is, a resurrection of everybody that has died. The righteous and the wicked, the good, the bad, however you want to put it. Everybody's going to come out of the grave. Everybody is subject to the authority of Jesus. All will be resurrected. Paul, in talking to Felix in Acts 24, verse 15, said there's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. In other words, everybody's going to be resurrected. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul spends an entire chapter, certainly not time for our study this morning, but he spends an entire chapter reassuring the Christians that they will be resurrected because Christ was resurrected. And Christ's resurrection is the proof of our own resurrection. What's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Number one, things are going to be going on normally. Number two, it's going to be an event that's going to be so cataclysmic that everyone will know. Number three, everybody that has ever died will be resurrected. Number four, there's going to be a separation. If you go back to Matthew 24, where Jesus is talking about his coming, and then he moves into chapter 25. And in chapter 25, he spends the whole chapter talking in parables, telling in many ways about the judgment. And I'm going to survey that chapter. And if you'll note with me some of the key stories of that chapter. The first 12 verses tell us about the parable of the 10 virgins. It's about there's 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. And the point of this is the 5 wise were prepared while the foolish ones were unprepared for the coming of the Lord. Notice what you have. A separation between the wise and the foolish. And then he tells the story, the parable, of what we call the parable of the talents. And this takes place in verses 14 through verse 30. And in this story, it is about the 5-talent man, the 2-talent man, and the 1-talent man. And you might remember that the 5-talent man is going to use his abilities, use his talents, be a wise steward of his money, and he returns at judgment 5 more talents, so the total of 10. 2-talent returns 2 more, total of 4. And he tells both of these men, enter into the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant. But the 1-talent man says that he buried his talent because he was afraid of the Lord, and he was afraid of the judgment. And the Lord tells him, in verse 26, that he was a wicked and slothful servant. He tells him that he ought to have invested his money with bankers so he could have at least received it with interest. He takes the talent away from him. And in verse 30, he says, cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's Jesus saying? There's going to be a judgment and a separation between those who use their talents, their abilities, are good stewards, they're faithful and good stewards, and those who bury their talents and ignore their abilities and talents for the Lord. And then finally, he concludes this chapter by telling a story, and it's not a parable, it's a description about the final judgment. And he makes the conditions of judgment, the ones who visited and cared for the needy and the afflicted, for those who were thirsty and hungry, for those who loved other people. And the ones who did these things are going to be blessed and enter into the joy of the Lord. Those who do not are going to receive eternal punishment. And he describes this as the sheep's on one side and the goats on the other. What's Jesus saying? He's saying at the judgment, there's going to be a separation. And he tells us three stories, three texts about how this is going to take place. Are we wise? Are we good stewards? And do we love our fellow man? Do we serve our fellow man? You see, then summarizes this by saying there's a sheep section and a goat section. There's a separation. When Jesus returns, there's going to be a separation. The Bible often calls this judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive what we've done in the body, whether good or bad. It's going to be a judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, he concludes before the great heavenly scene, he concludes by describing the great white throne judgment where all nations, all people are set before the throne of Christ. The books are open, the book of life, the word of God, as well is open in the book of deeds. We are described, or judgment is given based upon those standards. Are you ready for that judgment? Notice, there's not only going to be a judgment, though, but Christ will conquer at His coming. What will happen when He comes back? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Because I think we need to know as well that not only is there going to be a separation or judgment, but there is also going to be a victory by Jesus. Verse 24. Then comes the end. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, he says that he's going to put to death or kill the son of lawlessness, or the wicked one who works according to Satan. Satan is going to be punished. When Christ comes, he is going to do justice. He is going to make every wrong right. He's going to destroy the thing that has hurt us and been the enemy of God's people the longest. The last enemy, death. You see, he's going to conquer death through the resurrection. He's going to destroy the power of death, sin, and Satan. He will conquer. And so the coming of Jesus is something that is not feared by those who are in Christ, but it is something that is anticipated and longed for, because death will be destroyed and defeated. Sin will receive its punishment, and Christ will receive all glory and honor. And so Christ will conquer. And then finally, what happens when Jesus returns? This world will be terminated. The passage that Brother Holland read at the beginning of our study, 2 Peter 3, says in verses 10 through 13, that this world is going to be destroyed, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness. This world is going to be destroyed or pass away. It's going to be no more. Everything done in it will be exposed and it will cease to exist. What will happen when Jesus returns? All these things are described in Scripture as happening. It's going to be an incredible day. A day that in many ways this world has longed for and anticipated. It's a day that the prophets of the Old Testament wrote about, that persecuted people through the centuries have prayed for, that the apostles thought would happen any day because they anticipated it so much. It's going to be a day that every person who is suffering injustice will be vindicated. It's going to be a day where everybody that has died an untimely death will receive a resurrection, and then will face judgment. And God will set everything right in His own time. The world will be terminated. Tonight we'll study more about what it means when the world is terminated, because some want to think today that the earth will not be, and we'll study that and look at that. What will happen when Jesus returns? Life will be normal. Jesus will come with power. There will be a resurrection of all. There will be a separation or judgment. Christ will conquer evil, and the world will be destroyed. Are you ready? Jesus says at the judgment that He divides them between the sheep and the goats. Some of you may not know this, but this year we have become shepherds. We have two sheep. Now, funny thing about my sheep is that they're hair sheep. And that is, they don't have wool. And so they look more like goats. And so when people come out to our little farm, they often mistake our sheep for goats. They see them and they say, "I thought you had sheep, but I see two goats. Where's the sheep?" Even people that know oftentimes think they're goats. Now here's the thought for you. Are you thinking you're a sheep but looking more like the goats? Are you acting and looking and living more like the goats? I mean, you're at church today, you're trying to be a sheep, but really in your heart, you know you're living more like the goats. And people that are watching you and are close to you, they know. You may be using the mouth that you say you're a sheep, but you're not living like a sheep. You're living like a goat. Let me tell you, on the day of judgment, you cannot hide. And what you really are will be exposed. It will be exposed. Everything, Hebrews says in chapter 4, will be laid naked and bare, before whom we must give an account. What's done in the privacy of your own life, your private sins that us sheep have no idea knowing about, will be exposed and made bare before Jesus. You see, Jesus knows your heart. He can look at the rich young ruler and know his heart. He can look at you and know your heart. The day of judgment is an autopsy of your heart. And so are you ready? Because I've looked at us, and life is pretty normal. And none of us think today Jesus is going to come back. And that is exactly the perfect conditions for when Jesus says He's going to come back. It's when life is normal and when nobody expects it. And so are you ready? If Jesus came today, are you ready? If you're not right with Him, get your life right with Him. Do you need to put Christ on in baptism? Don't delay it anymore. Put Him on in baptism to have your sins washed away. If you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming.
There's a great day.